Reading from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Book 1, Chapter 5, Text 69 and 70. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yat Siddha Sarvata Shuddha Nirupadhi. Kripa kare tasmin satya pratignes san mitravarya ye mahaprabho vishvastasya didham sakshad praptat tasman Mahamaho harakaram napara brahmanaparam. No one is dearer to me than the supreme Brahman, Krishna, with all his enchanting, beautiful form. He has given himself to me who have complete faith in him. He is the reservoir of pure, unconditional mercy, the upholder of his word, the best of all well-wishing friends, the omnipotent Lord of all. Here Arjuna admits his firm trust in Krishna. This solid faith is the reality underlying Arjuna's ecstatic consciousness. His contrary expressions of apparent distrust are countercurrents of secondary ecstasies, which increase his pleasure, the pleasure of his beloved Lord, and the pleasure of the Rasika devotees like Narada, to whom he divulges these feelings. In this verse, Arjuna states four reasons for his complete trust in Krishna. First, Krishna is merciful unconditionally. Second, he always fulfills his promises, such as the one he made to Arjuna before the battle of Kurukshetra. Name bhakta pranashyati, my devotee never perishes. Third, he is the most reliable friend and benefactor. And fourth, he is the Supreme Lord, able to do anything. Remembering these qualities of Krishna and his exquisite beauty and the intimate friendship he kindly shared, Arjuna confesses that for him, Krishna is everything. But for this very reason, Arjuna cannot bear to consider that Krishna would intentionally deceive him into killing his teachers on the pretext of giving him spiritual instructions. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from Govardhan. it's a sadhu-filled land Today I went to the Govardhan Retreat Center, which is becoming, there's nothing like it. There was a retreat held there, I think, for the last 10 days. I just went today for the first time. A Krishna Katha retreat where they just collected some of the best sadhus, Gaudiya Vaishnava sadhus. So it was nice. And I went to listen today because I was personally invited and I got a text, "We're missing you," some friend of mine who organizes it. And it was a descendant of Raghunath Bhat Goswami, one of the six Goswamis, who is famous. His forte was reciting the Bhagavatam. The reason we don't know very much about him is he didn't want his name in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So you won't see the names really of Gopal Bhatta or Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhat in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Descendant means all the six Goswamis had deities and they had disciples who were Goswamis that were entrusted to the deities. So he's, like, I don't know, the 20th generation. Achyutalal Bhat. Bhat, of course, means Bhattacharya, Brahmins. And guess he was a Sanskrit professor, but he's a Gaudiya Vaishnava and very, very, very learned and very, grihastha, very humble, saintly person. So I just went to hear, and it was really nice, extremely learned. Boorjumper Prabhu said, if, in a class, if you learn one new thing, that's really great. But it was point after point. Yeah, he was talking about, for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, there's three things. We're followers. We want to achieve perfection. We're followers of Srimati Radharani. And that way we get the mercy of Krishna. Two, we live in Vrindavan. We live in Vrindavan. One second. Maharaj, I'm in the middle of a class now, but let me, can I call you afterwards?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. We should live in Vrindavan. But then he said, if you can't live in Vrindavan, you live in your mind. And we should get the association of Rasika Jans, devotees who have that Braj mood in their hearts. And we can get that by reading the books of those who have that mood, the Granta, just like we're reading now, Krishna's Kaviraj, or read Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, or read Brihadbhagavatamrita like we're doing. That's how we get the association if we can't get it personally. So it was very edifying and nice. And I was greeted warmly. I know them very well. And interesting, the person I know, he started a little ashram, and it's the place I used to live. I'll go visit it. If some of you remember, I used to live in something called Satsarup Marja's house. But it was, I could see Prabhupada's Samadhi from the roof. I used to sit in my room in days where I didn't have to see a soul. And the whole day I could just sit and chant and meditate on Prabhupada. So it's evidently they bought it and built an ashram there, which is nice. I never like to leave my room. That's my inertia, my nature. I'm most satisfied sitting in this seat right here. But tomorrow I'll also go to Barsana. And for the first time, you can stay overnight. And there's a nice kirtan, an Ekadasi kirtan. So let's see how I do. I'm reading these verses and really, because they seem repetitive, trying to really figure out what's going on here, what's being communicated to us to help us understand, devotion deeply. And something's important enough to be repeated in every person that we are encountering. And now we're encountering not just one person, but we're encountering the Pandavas who Narada is seeking on his search on the advice of Hanuman, who says, even though I serve God, I don't serve the Lord with such intimacy. And of course, Narada repeats that. And then there's this militant rejection. I guess on that advanced platform where there's no false ego, where there's muktir hitva, yatharupam sarupena vivastita. Where you're situated, sarupena vivasita, and you're a sarup in your own nature. False ego means I'm the center. The real ego means to serve the center. So when someone says, you're great, you're the center, it just psychologically and intellectually, it's something that someone rejects, which is hard for us to understand because in the material world, we're all seeking some likes on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is. And they don't have this in their consciousness because of their faith. And therefore, serving the center, they're focused on Krishna. That's all they care about is Krishna. Yeah, so one after another is rejected. I'm skipping a few verses. You could read them if you want. I'm really anxious to get to the six chapters. First Yudhisthira, rejects mercy, because his victory resulted in the death of his relatives. This was a big trauma for him. Didn't seem like much mercy he received in that regard. And the fact that he suffered in his life gave him pain, not because he couldn't digest it as mercy with a transcendental vision, that mercy is what brings us back to Krishna, not what enhances our position within this world. But he was pained. He didn't think that was mercy because he was afraid that others would see his example and lose faith. And of course, they all have this concept that, Krishna is in Dwarka. He's not with us. So how are we recipients of mercy? Plus, just that spiritual vision of prema, where somehow or other, out of love, you're just seeing and feeling God everywhere in one sense. Of course, on another level, you're in separation sometimes, but it just that vision, that feeling, and seeing yourself as an insignificant spark and having that vision of love. The f false ego, it's the exact opposite. It's afraid of losing, it gives you an identity, it's afraid of losing power. And you want power to control and enjoy. But anyway, Yudhisthira rejects, and then Bhima rejects. And then Here's Arjuna rejecting. And to Arjuna, it's so unpleasant to be glorified that he deflects the praise by actually these previous verses. Basically, he's criticizing the Gita, if that's Krishna's mercy. It forced me to kill my relatives, and it promoted, fighting and karma yoga, and he just, but here in this verse is he's admitting that actually has solid faith. And it's just a remembrance of Krishna. It's still not coming to the point that I'm merciful, but it's he his trust in Krishna is unflinching. Prabhupada said faith is unflinching trust in something sublime. You have that faith in the sublimity of Krishna, in the sublimity of service to Krishna. So anyway, reading these verses, I'm trying to put like you're really trying to hone in on what is this consciousness? What is this consciousness of these devotees that we're hearing about? And I want to put it in kind of a philosophical conception. I like to make that like a reasonable conception. There's God, and God is enjoying. And what is God enjoying? God is enjoying love. And those who have it have the highest pleasure. And God is Krishna, he's all attractive. And that attractiveness draws the love out of the hearts of his devotees. Rasa Vai Saha, the Taittiriya Upanishads, I believe that's the way it. He is that rasa. He is that love. And they always have this conception. When there is God, you can't limit it. You can't limit love. You can't limit pleasure. If he is the absolute reality and his determination is an absolute fact, what is the height of that? You can't even quantify it. So if there is love, what is the feeling of separation? And what is the degree of agony, of separation? Now, I've already explained this. If you read my Monday morning greetings, the agony and the ecstasy, and showing you why, when it's not connected to the ego, it's somehow or other. And I think you have to come to the platform to realize this, that it's the greatest pain and it's the greatest pleasure at the same time. But somehow it's beyond duality, so it's the greatest pleasure. And we can't quantify it for how things work in this world. But that's what they're feeling. And that's what all these devotees have this quality. Krishna's in the center. They don't have false ego that promotes superiority. They don't want to move towards that center, either psychologically or intellectually. And we can reflect as maybe a gauge to judge ourselves in our advancement. And because of that love and separation, they can't feel, they can't conceive that they feel mercy. because of the pain of that separation from Krishna and not being with him all the time. And then, of course, counterintuitively, because our separation from Krishna is only our consciousness, that also brings them with Krishna on another level. And so they're having this feeling, all of them. I describe this one god sister, very advanced. Mother Sitala is her name. She's very, I think, advanced, wife of Harisari. She showed up one day at the Prabhupada's disappearance festival here, and they asked her why. She said, "Because I cannot be in the place where Prabhupada disappeared in Vrindavan. I cannot tolerate it." That's love. Was she in pain? Was she in pain? I guess so. Did she have devotion? I guess so. So the quality of advancement is separation. So here, Arjuna, after deflecting praise and just trying to stop Narada, it's so unpleasant for him as a devotee in love with Krishna. It's so unpleasant to him to be glorified. So now he deflects it, and in that sense, he was kind of not accepting the mercy of the Gita being spoken to him, but now he's affirming his trust. And of course, the words are always Nirupadi is unconditional. There's a verse, what is that? Nirupadi karunena sisat, the unbound. Nirupadi karunena, sometimes mercy is considered unbound. So Krishna is described as the Shuddha, the pure, Nirupadi, unconditional, Kripakari, reservoir of mercy. Everything is mercy, actually. Everything is mercy. Because that unconditional love, that unlimited pleasure, Krishna wants to give us. And everything that happens to us is with that objective in mind. And as we come closer to achieving that, we begin to appreciate what Krishna has done to help us get there. Shuddha, Nirupadi, Kripakare, to him, who is Satya Pratigyay, who is true to his promise. And what is Krishna's promise? And this is Arjuna. What was Krishna's promise to him? Nabe Bhakta Pranashyati. Got the first part. Declare it boldly, my devotee will never perish. Very interesting. Just a personal story about that is one day in the Krishna Balaram Mandir, we invited Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Vaibhav Puri Maharaj, the younger Puri Maharaj. The older one was 102, he was 96. One second. Ooh. So we invited him, and he gave a class, and it was of the God brothers. In many ways, he's the one that appreciated Prabhupada the most and had that kind of preaching mood. It could be said in one way. I don't want to relativize any, but he certainly had that mood. And so afterwards, they served him breakfast, which was the Mahaprasadam, and he took it, halava and everything. And then at that particular time, word was coming out about our preaching in the Soviet Union. Now it's all over the world, but at that time, it's such startling news. The different preaching exploits behind the Iron Curtain. And then word started to get out of really Prabhupada's success because he's empowered his devotees. I mean, it's amazing what Prabhupada's disciples are doing. If you see that retreat center, 25 acres, it's there's so many sadhus, there's so many institutions in Govardhan, et cetera. No one has a place like that. No one. Very powerful acharyas, and no one has a place like that. There's somehow this, in the temple of the Vedic Planetarium, I saw things and how beautiful it is, and so we told him about it. That and that time's a big thing. The preaching in Russia is successful. And then he looked at us. It was only myself and someone else, two or three people, and he said, "It must be true." And then he said, "Kontiya, that's it. Kontiya pratijanahi name. Kontiya pratijanahi." I think it's the same words. Yes, that's interesting. Prati, yeah, same words. Prati jane. Kontiya prati jane. Hey. The same word. Interesting. Declare it boldly. My devotee never perishes. And he said that also refers to the words of the devotees. He said, so if Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness would spread, it must be true. So, and Arjuna also, and he's delivering Tasmat Mama to me, and Maha Mana Hara. The great mind who stealing the minds. I mean, what is stealing the minds? He's so enchanting. I love it. It's with his enchanting, beautiful form, Akara, whose form is Mahamana, the great mind, Hara, Hara. It's stealing the mind. And para brahmana, para brahmana, param. And he's the omnipotent Lord of all. This is his bhav, his appreciation. Krishna is their life. Without Krishna, there's no life. And that's the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is everything is centered on God. for the happiness of everyone. For the happiness of everyone. Everything was centered on God. Now, next, so we covered there was Yudhisthira, there's Bhima, and then somehow all of them got the mercy of Krishna. So Sri Nakula Sahadeva, Sri Nakula Sahadeva, Sahadeva Vachita, Yatvipad Gunato Dhairyam, Vairi Varga Vinashranam, Ashrame Dadi Chasmakam, Sri Krishna Samapadayat, Yat Chatena Yashorajam, Punyanyapi Anyam Dulabam, Vyatano Bhagavamstena, Nasya Manyamahe Kribam. Sri Nakula and Sahadev said, yes, Sri Krishna gave us steadfastness in the face of many dangers. He arranged for the doom of all our enemies and for our success in the Ashrameda and other sacrifices. He expanded our fame, kingdom, and pious credits, which others could hardly hope to attain. But, O godly Narada, we do not deem this evidence of his mercy. So it described everything, but that's not mercy. So it's not mercy what he did for us. This is love. It's not mercy what God does for us. It's mercy when we see the pleasure of God and his devotees. It's just a switch of consciousness. Rather than mercy is the mercy or kindness is not what ask not what God ask what not God can do for you, ask what you can do for God. I think that was John F. Kennedy, president when I was growing up. Ask not what you can do for your country. Ask what you can, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. Just see. That 50 years ago or something, 50, no, 60 years ago, there was some kind of sense that Nayam Lokas, the Yogyasya, Kutanya Kurus, there was some sense of sacrifice and duty. Character. Thinking of others before yourself. Some platform of, dare I say, patriotism, sacrifice, altruism. Of course, things are mixed with other things in the material world. I will tell this story. I'm not going to tell it again, but my mother's cousin was one of the four chaplains. I told this story, but if it's apropos, I tell it again. He was a chaplain on the USS Dorchester. He volunteered. Just think of that, you know, he was a rabbi in York, Pennsylvania. He was a graduate of John Hopkins University. Very educated, very dynamic, handsome leader. And he volunteered. He volunteered. I don't know how, if people have that spirit today or whether it's worthy of it, but people are willing to sacrifice. Maybe it's you have to have a worthy goal, but people whether were ready to sacrifice. I lived in a pampered generation. It was a good 70, I'm going to be 74 this year. It was a good 74 years. Although I remember when I went to college, they stopped the student deferment. And we'd see the Vietnam War, the amount of people that were being killed, and the numbers were up, and the March on Washington and the protests. And then they killed the student deferment. They killed the student deferment, which is how the middle class didn't have to fight in wars, and you send all the poor people to fight your wars so you can enjoy, because they had no other employment. Something like that. And then there was a lottery. And I remember sitting around in the student lounge in the dormitory as they're calling the numbers. And according to the number they picked out of just a bowl, if your number was called, you were going to be drafted and shipped to Vietnam. I remember that. My number was 134. Okay. It was a little under half. Anyway, my uncle, he gave up his life to save others, as the other chaplains did, but belief in God, arm in arm, going down with the ship, giving their life preservers and their seats on the lifeboats to other people. Some sense of that. There's a famous, very famous writer, Tom Wolfe. Incredible satirist, satirist. So he wrote about different generations. My parents was called the greatest generation. And they went to war. My uncle, was a fighter pilot, and my father. Actually, just to think, my father was stationed in Hawaii, and his mother was dying. But the mother wouldn't tell him because he would have to come back, and she felt that, he wasn't over in Europe, and that Hawaii was safer. He was stationed there. They stationed you. So, she didn't tell him that he died. He never saw his mother again. But that sense, somehow that sense. So then this Tom Wolfe wrote this article. So this is the greatest generation, and he wrote an article called The Me Generation. Everybody, self-improvement, self this. It started there. Self this, me. But here's the opposite. It's not mercy. What happened to me and all these things, that's not mercy. You want to know what mercy is? When Krishna accepted the first worship in the Rajasuya sacrifice. Antithetical of material consciousness. So it's inspiring us. I'm not saying for war, but for Krishna, shifting our consciousness. Aduna vanchitasthena vayam. Jivama tat kutam tatarshanam api brahmam. Yo nu do bhut ati durgata. Now he has cheated us by going away. So how can we continue to live? Before O Brahman, at least we had the sight of him, so difficult to obtain. Ati, durga, ati extremely, durgatam, so difficult to obtain. The darshanam, and we had that darshanam. Now, Vanchita, he has cheated us. Purport. Like their brothers, Nakula and Sahadev judge Krishna's mercy on them by whether or not he gives them his personal association. They can think themselves fortunate only as long as they could be with him and see him. At the Rajasuya sacrifice and other occasions. Sri Parikshit Uvacha Tach Trutva Vachanam Tesham Draupadi Shoka Vivala Samstabya Yatna Atmanam Pradantyahasa Gagadham. That means choice, choked voice. I think that's in the Shikshastim. I forgot which verse. Sri Parikshit said, hearing the words of the Pandavas, Draupadi was overwhelmed with sorrow. Calming herself with great effort, she spoke crying in a choked voice. Sri Krishnovacha, Sri Krishnena mama prana, sakena bhuta tripa, nivaraniya dushtascha, maraniya kilejusha. Sri Krishna, Draupadi said, so many times, my intimate friend, Sri Krishna, saved me from shame. And so many times, he killed wicked rascals like the Kauravas. Kartavyo nugrahastena sadeyasin matir mama aduna patitastata bratra putra dayo kila. I thought he would always show us mercy, but now my father, brother, and sons have all fallen in battle. Tatapi vidade shokam. Natad itchanu sharani kint vaicham praptum atmestam kinchitat tachalat phalam. Nevertheless, I don't lament, for by my nature I accept whatever he desires. But I had hoped that on one pretext or another, he would arrange for my desires to be fulfilled. Purport, Duryodhana, Dushasana, and their friends had tormented Draupadi with their unspeakable wicked behavior. Draupadi knows that Krishna alone saved her and her husbands from this abuse. Although her husbands, by their arms, had killed their many enemies, it was Krishna's inconceivable potency that had drawn the doomed warriors into fratricidal combat. And Krishna's will that had sealed their fate. Even after Draupadi's father, Drupada, her brother, Drishtadyumna, and her five sons, headed by Prativindya, had all perished at Kurukshetra, she hoped against hope that Krishna would somehow make her happy again. Let me read some verses. Tenasan. Santvayitavyayam atabandhu janasvayam Sri Krishne no pavishyatra madparshve yati patavai. After my family members were killed, Sri Krishna personally sat here at my side and expertly consoled me with persuasive arguments. I always drink the immortal nectar of those charming words, so pleasing to the mind, and the smiles that went with them. Purport, with his sweet, compassionate words, Krishna had filled Draupadi's heart with new hope. Despite the material disaster and loss, Draupadi could be consoled by recalling how Krishna had sat and talked with her in concern, and how attractive his words and smiling face had been. Even so, it is my misfortune that he no longer comes here. So how, dear sage, can I think he has shown me mercy? So what is mercy? Not my own pleasure, which, if it's tinged with selfishness, is temporary and filled with duality. But his mercy is him and that connection with God and feeling that connection. And when I don't have it, there's no mercy. Just like when one's hungry or starving, there's no other pleasure one could get from anything else but food. So when one is in separation from Krishna, I know one devotee that confides in me. And I think they're legitimate. But what can I see? They don't flaunt their devotion. They're very surrendered to Guru. But they can't tolerate their separation from Krishna. They can undergo any pain, but not that. And this person was in pain. I know this person was in pain for 10 years. Finally had an operation to relieve that pain. Real deep pain. She always had to keep narcotics. Didn't take them. But that pain is greater than that pain. Sri Prakshit said, Mother Kunti, for whom the sight of Krishna was life, seemed tormented with sorrow, remembering how Krishna at times showed his mercy and other times not. She then spoke pitifully with tears in her eyes. Like her sons and their wife, purport, Kunti is a transcendental soul blessed with the full mercy of Krishna. This is the truth, no matter what she says. The ecstasy of separation, Vipralamba Bhav, impelled her to complain sorrowfully as if an ordinary woman. Prakshit Mark qualifies his description by hearing saying, Shokarta Eva, as if lamenting, to help clarify the real situation. Vipralamba Bhav. Kunti, I had no husband to protect me, but Krishna always interceded just in time to save me and my sons from calamity. From this, I understood that Krishna's mercy on me was special, greater than even his mercy on his mother, Devaki. But now the thought that Krishna is merciful to me never enters my mind. But everywhere in our home and the homes of our neighbors, I hear the loud mourning of the women whose relatives have been slain. Therefore, deprived of seeing him, I beg Krishna to take away our wealth and give us more calamities to bring him again within our sight. Krishna gave the Pandavas their kingdom, freed from thorny opponents. Now, thinking the brothers satisfied, he has abandoned us and resides in Dwarka. So I've given up hope that he will ever come back. Now I think his real mercy would be my quick death. My last thread of hope, that Krishna is always compassionate to his friends and relatives, can easily break if I simply consider how strongly he is attached to the Yadavas. Therefore, go see the divine Yadavas, the Lord's most beloved associates, who live immersed in a vast, unequal ocean of joy. My Lord Narada, you know very well how great they are. What can I tell you about their glories? Prakshit said, O mother, O Lord of the Yadavendra's nephew, the exalted sage Narada swiftly arrived at Sri Dwarka. He entered the inner city, repeatedly offering prostrated obeisances. and from a distance saw the fortunate Yadavas. Okay. One second here. There it is. Okay, Jamunajaya, start us off. What point
Hi,
did you?
Kishore. Thank you so much for class. So many great things to think about in terms of mercy, but the one that you said right up the top, I really love that mercy is not what enhances our position in the material world, but that which brings us closer to Krishna. And so I was just really reflecting on that. And this last verse is like, there's Queen Kunti again. Calling for those things to happen again and again and again, showing us that she's so elevated. I started to giggle when she was like, there she is again, calling for the calamity. So I really appreciated that look at mercy, though, that it's not the material world mercy, but it's what brings us closer to Krishna.
Hey, thanks. That's nice, Jaya.
Right.
Great. Gail? Are you here?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were talking about Queen Kunti, let these calamities happen again and again. You know, I just recently I was hearing about that those verses and reminded of the fact that, you know, I was enjoying the perspective that I got on those verses that, you know, the Pandavas. And you know, any of his Krishna's pure devotees, they, you know, they just use any excuse really to be with Krishna, you know, and it's just so touching to hear that they don't care what they have to do to what they have to say to Krishna, you know, to get him to be with them, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Is just
It's kind of like risk benefit, right? There's some things that are difficult, so you have to weigh the difficulty to the benefit. So what they're saying is the benefit of Krishna's association is so great, it outweighs any of the difficulties. It's just you balance it by far. You know, and we all have that in our life that we make sacrifices when we feel that the benefit is greater than the pain we have to undergo to get it. Okay, thank you,
Yeah,
Gail.
but you know, Maharaj, I just feel like it, the way I've understood it, it seemed like it was even beyond risk benefit, you know, for them. It was just, it's like they weren't even weighing where any risk was of no consequence to them, you know, just the fact that by hook or by crook, you know, Krishna must be with me, you know, that type of mode, you know,
Right.
which is, you know. Oh, just
Yeah.
one other thing,
It's
Maharaj.
not exactly risk benefit because they don't want anything for themselves.
Yeah. You know, and too, hearing about, you know, Yudhisthira's depression, not for anything for his own sake, but for us, you know, that's like, wow. You know, that
Yeah, no, yeah.
level of
Well, that's
compassion.
what saintliness is. Saintliness is when it's not about you. The whole world is to make it that way because, of course, it's interesting. Not about you is actually about you because that's what you are, your consciousness, which is in this cosmic connection with God that's meant for him and meant for service, which is counterintuitively, the best thing for you also. Okay, Gail, thank you.
Thank
Anybody else?
you.
Anybody
Hare
to
Krishna
say hello?
Maharaj, just saying hello. Great to hear from you.
Okay, Tota. Hi, bye.
Haribol.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Krishnamrita. I also very much impressed that mercy is to give Krishna pleasure. and to feel connection with him, real.
Actually, the mercy is when we can actually enjoy Krishna's pleasure. Yeah, thank you, Krishnanamrita. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Kamala Tarrada.
Shyam Kishore, Hare Krishna
All
Maharaj.
right, well, okay,
Thank you
down
so much
there.
for the.
Good. I'm just so happy that with the regulars here, because this is what spiritual life is about. It's about hearing and becoming nourished, and we all have to come to that platform, and that's what they're very good. Okay, Haribo.
Haribol Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Thank you very much for the class. Yabhat
I like this from one part of the world to the other, this technology, somehow we're using it. Hare Krishna, nice to see you.
Sundari.
Wonderful. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. This is Paul Govinda. Thank you for class.
Haribo, Haribo,
Haribol.
Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. Good. Anybody else? Okay, I'm just looking down the list.
Krishna Guru
Noting
Maharaj.
everybody. Hi, Amala. Hare
Hare
Krishna. Nice to see
Krishna.
you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I'm looking down the list and seeing all the people. Okay. Thank you all. Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhyeva Cha.